Okay, we're joined on the line by Mark Guerrero. And welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you.
Let me turn it up, the volume up here. Mark is a radio show host. He's a musician and a writer, historian of Chicano music, a supporter and advocate of Chicano music, and Lalo Guerrero's son. And we've been playing Lalo Guerrero's music this morning. But welcome to the show, Mark. It's really great to have you.
Thank you. Trying to be awake here. Of course, I worked late on a gig last night.
So I know.
About 4 hours sleep, if not.
Oh, I really appreciate it. You're a madrugador. You're an early morning riser. Well, let's cut to the chase. Why a show like American Sabor, Mark?
Well, I'm very happy that they've done it because, you know, that's one of the whole things that I'm about, is that a lot of times U.S. Latinos in rock and roll or in the music business in general are usually kind of not thought about. You know, there's Latin music from Latin America and there's American music, but Latin Americans making music in the U.S. and their contribution is often overlooked. So I'm really happy that EMP, Experience Music Project, has decided to do this exhibit. And I think people at the University of Washington, a lot of them had something to do with suggesting it. And I'm just happy that it's done, that it was done very great.
Now, you had a role in putting this show together, didn't you?
Well, in the sense that I was hired as a consultant and on the advisory board for the exhibit. The exhibit concentrates on five different cities, different centers of Latin music in the U.S. That's Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Antonio, New York, and Miami. So I was hired as a consultant for the Los Angeles part, since I'm from Southern California and have been part of the Los Angeles scene since the 60s, really, myself. And because of my website, which attempts to chronicle the history of Chicano music in particular, with an emphasis on Southern California, so they came to me to be a consultant for that part of the exhibit.
And who are some of the people that you interviewed for the show, and why did you pick the people that you picked?
Well, one of the things that I did was to conduct interviews on video of various artists. They gave me a list of some artists they wanted me to talk to, and then I gave them a list of other people I suggested, and then they selected from there. So it was kind of both of us kind of figuring out who to interview. And some of the people I interviewed were Trini Lopez, Chan Romero, I'm trying to think of the most known people, members of Tierra, members of El Chicano. I was interviewed as well. And these interviews will be part of their permanent oral history archive there at EMP, there in Seattle. And but little segments are in the exhibit. You can go to this kiosk with a screen, and you can push a button and hear people talking about certain aspects of Latino music and their own careers. So that's one of the things I did. The other thing was I loaned them many flyers from the old days in East Los Angeles in the 60s, the golden age of Chicano rock in East Los Angeles. I loaned them many of my flyers from some of the dances and concerts, so some of the band cards, including the original Los Lobos band card, you know, a business card, and album covers and things like that. It's a 5,000 square multimedia exhibit. It's a world class. I'm very proud of it.
Yeah, visually it looked really great too. And the flyers that you loaned and also the album covers really created a feeling that really makes the show very, very a lot of fun to go through. But, you know, it was my impression that with the people who made salsa and conjunto and Chicano soul and rock and roll, they were all immigrants or descendants of immigrants, and the show kind of downplays that. But doesn't that show how immigration and migration is a factor in the creation of popular entertainment, such as popular music? And is that something that we can appreciate about this exhibit?
Yes. You're right. There are some that were immigrants and many second, third, fourth generation people. But basically, I would say probably most of them were just Americans of Latino descent.
Right, yeah. Well, I have to say the music certainly was fun to make and listen and dance to and play. It's the energy of Latin popular music. It was really infectious and funny and full of life. I really had a good time going through that.
You know, and also the diversity of it, you know, because, you know, some of it, you know, it runs the gamut from sort of the Cuban aspect from Miami, or the, you know, Puerto Rican from New York, or the Chicano from Southern California, et cetera. And some of it is very Latin sounding, and some of it's in Spanish, and some of it is completely R&B or rock and roll. It just happens to be, you know, Chicanos or Latino Americans doing rock and roll.
Mm-hmm. You
know, so it runs the whole gamut of English to Spanish to bilingual.
Well, I did notice that the Movimiento music, I don't think I saw anything about that in the exhibit. Because, I don't know, I was just thinking about, you know, after having seen the exhibit, I was thinking, wow, that really did cover the gamut. But then I thought, well, I don't remember seeing anything about Teatro Campesino or Cesar Chavez or, you know, Conjunto Aztlán or... I'm thinking of the people that were on Rolas de Aztlán, that CD. What do you think?
There's some. In fact, there was a point made of you know, some of the people interviewed talked about what Cesar Chavez meant to them and what you know, the political and social aspect of their music was. So that's in some of the interviews, and there are some songs at the exhibit. I mean, on the album wall is one. A solo album I did, but also my A&M album from the 70s with my group Tango, which was a rock and roll, country rock group. But we had a song that I wrote called I'm Brown, which is very movement-oriented, and you can hear it on one of the iPods there on the wall. And then Los Illegals, L.A., which is about immigration, and that's on the kiosk where you can hear particular songs. So there are songs, you know, of... social and political persuasion,
mm-hmm.
In the exhibit, and also in the conjunto, in the San Antonio section, you know, there's a whole gamut of music there.
Sure.
That would cover some of that.
Uh-huh. Well, what impressed you the most about the exhibit?
Well, just that it was, you know, first-rate, first-class exhibit. As some people just said, they turned all this music, which has never been treated in this kind of serious way in a museum setting. It sort of turned it into legitimate history. You know, it recognized it in a first-class way. The way that the exhibit's set up, you know, the various things. It has all things you would expect. You know, you can hear music, you can see videos, you can see artifacts like photos and flyers, and also things like the mariachi outfit that Linda Ronstadt wore on her Canciones de Mi Padre tours,
mm-hmm.
an album, you know, Richie Valens, one of his guitars,
guitars
and a vest,
yeah.
And, you know, things, a Los Lobos guitar and some original manuscripts of lyrics. And so it's just like, you know, any major museum exhibit. It's just first class, and but it's on Latino music in the U.S., so all of us are very happy about this, and you know, I'm proud of the way they set it up.
Who curated the show, Mark?
Jason Emmons was the curator up there at the EMP, and he did a wonderful job, you know, putting it all together.
And there were a couple of other people involved too, weren't they?
Yes, there was, you know, I don't have the name with me handy here, but there was a Marisol, I forget her last name, but she was from the University of Washington, and Michelle, can't think of her last name as well, I'm sorry I don't have it with me, but there were a couple of professors from the University of Washington that were very active in making this happen and putting it together.
Well, you were part of the exhibit, Mark. What has brought you personally the most satisfaction as a Chicano musician in being part of this Latin contribution to American music?
Well, it feels good to have been a part of it, and I've been a part of it since I was a teenager in the 60s in East Los Angeles. I had various bands that were popular on the circuits there. You know, we played many gigs with some of the early groups that are very well known, like Cannibal and the Headhunters and the Premieres and the Blendells, and the record you just played by the Jaguars. I mean, all those people I grew up with and played with. And in the 70s, I was part of the scene that had Tierra and El Chicano and some of those groups. And Los Lobos came out of that as well. So that's sort of the scene I was a part of. And so I've always been a part of the music scene myself. But because of my website and the work I've done and my internet radio show, Chicano Music Chronicles, I've also sort of been documenting it. So it's kind of interesting to be on both sides of it, to be documenting it and at the same time being a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I've learned so much from reading your website and reading about the interviews that you've conducted with different musicians such as Chan Romero and Lil Willie G, and reading your histories of Chicano music. It's a very valuable contribution, really.
Thank you. Of course, it's markguerrero.com or markguerrero.net, both work.
Okay, markguerrero.com.
That's markguerrero.net or .com. They both work.
Okay.
And there's a lot of histories of various artists. There's also articles on various musical experiences I've had are on there as well. There's probably 100 articles. There's photographs, sound bites, links. You could spend days on the website.
And right now, what are you doing on your internet radio show, Mark?
Well, actually, I have that on hold right now. I did it for a year. That was my contract. I did one show a month on and it was broadcast on crnlive.com out of Phoenix. And I did the 12 shows. I interviewed just about everybody I set out to interview. And I'm very proud of that body of work of those 12 shows. But then it was very hard doing that, plus doing my gigs and my concerts and everything else that I do. It was very hard to do everything, so I had to kind of take a break on it. But I do believe I'm going to pick it up again. But, I interviewed, some of the principals from Tierra and El Chicano and Chan Romero, Trini Lopez, Little Willie G. I did a show on my dad's music, Lalo Guerrero, a show on my own music. So if you get a chance, you go to my website, you go to the Chicano Music Chronicles page, you can hear the 12 shows archived there, where I pick out like a dozen or so of my favorite songs by the artist, and we talk about them. We talk about the songs, about the career, and I interviewed Los Illegals as well.
Right. All right, and that's all on your website.
Yes.
Okay. And, I guess the conversation inevitably turns to your dad. What do you think your dad, Lalo Guerrero's greatest contribution to music was, Mark?
Well, he's sort of considered, and rightfully so, he's the father of Chicano music, whereas the documentary on him that my brother Dan Guerrero produced, the title of it is Lalo Guerrero, the Original Chicano. He's kind of the original Chicano artist, and Linda Ronstadt once said he's the first great Chicano musical artist. He started recording back around 1939, and what makes him so amazing is that he did everything. He was a world-class vocalist. He was a great songwriter, and he would write in every style you can imagine. Boleros, rancheras, comedy, parodies, children's music, rock and roll in Spanish and bilingual, salsa, then it was called tropical, música tropical. Mm-hmm. He just did everything, and great, and it's unprecedented. I don't know of anybody, any artist in any field that did so many things so well. And by the way, he did pass away 2.5 years ago. So.
Yeah. We still miss him, and we always will. Lalo Guerrero.
Music exists.
Yeah. Mark, let's see. Oh, could you tell us the story about Canción Mexicana?
Canción Mexicana.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, it's one of the first songs he ever wrote. He was 17 years old. He wrote the song. And it's a song that's a tribute to Mexican music. And it's sort of in a ranchera style, a mariachi style. And it's very unique in that, he sings a verse about being proud of Mexican music and what it is. And then he'll sing a little piece of a classic Mexican song like La Adelita or whatever, and then he'll do another verse, and then he'll do a little piece of another song, and that song that he wrote when he was 17 was eventually recorded by Lucha Reyes, who was probably the diva of Mexican music of the 30s and 40s, and she had a big hit with it, and it has since been recorded by many people in Mexico and in the Latin United States since, and it's become a standard that pretty much any Mexican mariachi from U.S. or Mexico knows the song as part of their repertoire. And he wrote that when he was 17.
Uh-huh. And the funny thing was that he heard it performed on the radio by Lucha Reyes, but he didn't even know that she had recorded it, right?
Yeah, it's one of those things about the music business. He had written it, and somehow it got to her. I think some musician was playing it, and she said, "I like that song." And he said, "Oh, here, you can have it." And he gave her the song, and she recorded it, and when it came out, my dad heard about it, and he rushed to the music store to buy the record, very excited, and it said it was written by Lucha Reyes. It was, you know, he didn't get the songwriter credit for it.
Oh,
so he had to go to Mexico City and prove that he had written it, and he did prove that. I don't know if he had a copyright or what he did. He had it published here first or something. But anyway, he was able to straighten it out and get the credit, and the rest is history. That really got him going.
Yeah, it's really thrilling to hear them both sing it. They both, their versions are so different, and
yeah.
Really thrilling.
And ironically, his other most famous sort of classic song, that's another standard in the Mexican repertoire, is Nunca Jamás, and it's a beautiful ballad. And the same kind of a deal. But this was a trio, Los Panchos, who were like, you know, the Beatles of Mexico in the 50s. I mean, they were just a fantastic vocal group. They had heard him do the song,
mm-hmm.
and they recorded it. And he didn't, you know, really know they had done it, but he did get credit for that right off the top. But they did a beautiful version of that song, and that song has since been recorded by many people, including Jose Feliciano. Javier Solis. So those are his two biggest standards, biggest hits. But he had many other hits as well throughout his career.
Canción Mexicana and Nunca Jamás.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Mark, I want to thank you for joining us this morning. I've been talking to Mark Guerrero on Música de la Raza Aztlán to El Barrio on KBCS 91.3 FM. And thanks, Mark Guerrero, for joining us. Radio show host, musician, writer, historian of Chicano music, and supporter and advocate of Chicano music, and son of the late Lalo Guerrero. And thank you very much for joining us. And do you have any last words that you want to say about American Sabor?
Well, just I hope that everybody up in the Seattle area and anybody else who can hear the show takes the time to go down to see it. It's right near the Space Needle, the beautiful museum, Experience Music Project, and it would be worth the trip, and it'll be pretty inspiring to see.
Yes, indeed. Well, thanks again, Mark, for being an early morning riser. I'd forgotten that you would do a gig on Friday nights, so
yes.
I owe you big time.
Thank you. It's my pleasure, and I'm going back to sleep now.
Okay. Thank you so much again.
You're welcome.
Bye. KBCS 91.3 FM, your world of music and ideas.